Greetings, friends, and welcome to the GrogPod Roguelike Podcast. For each episode, we strap on our those little star things you put on your boots for riding on horses, whatever those are called, and we lock, sock, and barrel our way through a roguelike game. And if it's good enough, we see if it loops back around at the end of the season for our end-of-season Omega Bowl ratings. I am your demonic rave techno dealer host of the podcast, Scott Berger, and with me are my gas mask wearing gambling co-hosts.
Hey, it's Andrew Tombstone Pizza Harshman.
This is William 50 caliber Wright. Why not?
I guess I'll be calling 45 Smith, just a little bit smaller.
Well, if you were anxiously awaiting this episode and looking ahead at the what game are we playing next, you would have seen on our previous episode we're just going to talk about the game 45. Well, you are wrong. You're dead wrong, listeners, because it is a double-barreled double feature today, where we are talking not only the hit deck builder 45, but we're also talking the hit shoot yourself and your friends in the face simulator Buckshot Roulette, which we'll get to in a minute. But if you want to skip ahead, there'll be timestamps and all that good stuff. But we kick off with 45. The sun rises over the dusty townscape with, I guess technically it's period 40.5, but for all the production stuff, I'm leaving the period out because I know for a fact it's going to cause sorting problems and it's going to throw all sorts of weird errors and things.
When you look for it in Steam, you have to look in the F section. So therefore, no one cares about that period in front.
There you
also
go.
It is spelled out 45, not just the numbers.
Yeah. But 45 was released March 24th, 2024. I believe a Steam exclusive. And this was developed and published by One Microwave Studios, who I think there's maybe some conflicting information out there here, where according to something I found, I think this was the Microwave Studios subreddit, says it was founded by one Greg Lobanov, an indie game developer who has developed a recent indie hit called Chicory, which is a very colorful adventure game, a Wondersong audio engine, and debatedly maybe created one of the first most popular rogue, or one of the first like roguelike deck builders ever on Steam called Coin Crypt. Now, if that's true, then great. But what I think I do know for a fact, with all of the hundreds of hours of journalistic integrity that I've put into this research here, is that this game is a student project. 45 is a student project from one H.T.L. Renweg in Vienna, Austria. Let's give it up for Renweg. And I believe I had to ask around because admittedly my knowledge of Austrian secondary schools is limited. But I believe H.T.L. Renweg in Vienna, Austria is something, it's like a 1,000 student, like secondary school slash high school slash, community college maybe. And so with that in mind, your average player of 45 has, oof, this would have been good, but it's just slightly lower. 35 hours of gameplay in it.
Rough.
No, wait, hang on. That's a typo. I didn't update the Google Doc. We'll fix it in post, people. Don't worry about it. Your average player of 45, more accurately, has about 5 hours of gameplay in it.
Oh, there we go.
That's which makes more believable. Yeah, that makes sense.
I would say 35 hours is a lot.
It's the head cold, people. What percentile, this is the 758th most popular roguelike game on Steam with 864 total reviews. Will, the Colt single action army, 6 bullets, more than enough to kill anything that moves. But you only have one sentence to describe what one does in the game, 40-5.
Well, I mean, I wish I had 6 bullets, but in this game, for some strange reason, this is a Spire-like Western-themed game where your 45 caliber Western Revolver has 5 rounds, and you are progressing in much the same way as you would through Slay the Spire, through procedurally generated map. And the main mechanic, this is all one long run-on sentence, the main mechanic, it just revolves around the positioning of bullets, cursed bullets, within this five-cylinder sort of arrangement, and how it rotates around. And that's kind of the big gimmick with this game.
Now, I was very excited when we were going through the list. We're like, okay, Will's up. It's time for Will to pick something. Clearly, he's going to narrow down on this very short list of games that are overwhelmingly positive roguelike deck builders on Steam. And it's very short, and we've covered a lot of them so far. See previous episodes, one Balatro, one Slay the Spire, of course. We've covered Inscription. We recently covered Dysomancer. We've covered Monster Train, even. And so I was like, okay, the list dwindles. And so I actually, like, on that graphic that I had posted, there's actually been a few more added to it. One of which we were talking about before hitting that record button, Cube Chaos, if you want to call that a deck builder, recently crossed into the overwhelmingly positive territory.
It's not, and it's not overwhelming. That's just, that's fake news right there.
We have a game that recently came out that's getting lauded pretty well called Star Vaders, which is also cross. It seems to be kind of like a Tetris deck builder. Kind of hybrid, seems very interesting. And one that is quite literal in its title, one called Rogue Light Deck Builder.
Wow.
You are building a deck. yes.
Like an actual like deck, like where you'd have like a barbecue on top and yes. Like where.
Oh, that's right. I remember. Yeah.
Wait, for real? That's great.
Yeah.
I believe that also crossed into the overwhelmingly positive territory. But so with
deck builder.
but yeah, I think like the number, it was interesting to me because I was like, okay, how many, like there's something like, I don't know, 10,000 roguelike games on Steam, roughly. How many of them are, or no, there's as a total, there are 14,728 total roguelike games on Steam. There are 135 of them, and this is just all roguelike games, not just deck builders, but there are 135 of them that are overwhelmingly positive. So something like less than 1%. And so, you know, I think we've had positive things to say. Even Dysomancer, I think, had some interesting stuff going for it. So naturally, 45, overwhelmingly positive, deck builder, Spire-like, and it's, I think, hitting on some stuff that I think Will has a secret fondness for Western themes as well. Between things like, I don't know, Harmonica, Rimworld, Lone Star. Is Lone Star a Western? Let's lump Kenshi in there as well.
Oh, man, you're really stretching it real hard here.
Frontier life.
Ooh, there we go.
The dusty trails.
So it has all the bullets are fully loaded in the chamber, ready for enjoyment kind of thing.
The value proposition. It's a free game.
Yeah, I think it's okay to like a game. It's okay to not like a game. All this is a certain all devs go to heaven half episode here, where I've been grappling with my conscience of like, okay, how do I like rate a game that's basically put out by, I don't know, let's be generous and say community college students as a student project, put out on Steam, overwhelmingly positive, but just didn't like resonate with me. How can I critique that in a way that doesn't sound like this game stinks and the devs stink for making it?
Well, it's no Baldur's Gate 3.
Almost. It's
I
almost
mean, that's not.
Not
a great game either, to be fair, but
I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out if I don't even know. Like, are Battlefield games still a thing? I was trying to think of like what's the biggest. It's no Fortnite.
Oh no. We can't. We don't talk about that.
You were mentioning how there's the six shooter is only a five shooter in this game. So I mean, at least Fortnite has more accurate guns, I suppose.
There you go, actually,
all right. So let's. I think we can. I think we can be somewhat critical because the game is on Steam. It presents itself as a fully loaded, if you'll pardon the pun, produced, ready to play game. So we can maybe treat it as such to some extent. I hear you, Scott, about being, you know, a little unsure how to review this. Hey, right out the gate, this is a game all about guns, and the gun sound is not good.
It's mostly about bullets.
It's about bullets, yeah.
Well, okay, it's about firearms, and everything about shooting the firearms is like not good. So there's my FPS meathead critique right out the gate is that like the sound effect weak, the actual like effect of like the screen kind of shaking not good, the rotation of the
cylinder,
the chamber, the cylinder. Thank you
the
so
magazine,
much. The cylinder,
the
no
clip.
Bueno. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Hey, why don't we start at the top, the visuals? So yeah, it looks this game looks unfinished. and it's very clearly a very impressive student project. And it's, I guess, fun that they put it on Steam, but like, I didn't read any of the overwhelmingly positive reviews. What do people have to say about this?
I think
that is so overwhelmingly positive.
So that's kind of an interesting point where I think this game, like, is fine in the context of like free flash games from like the early 2000s.
Yes. Oh, yes. Actually, there we go.
Yeah. That's about right.
And I think that like no shade on the devs because they have developed a better game than I could ever build. But I don't think this game deserves its overwhelmingly positive status because it was boosted up by like basically a single YouTuber.
It's actually down to only very positive for recent reviews.
Well, I mean for all time.
Oh, once I add mine in there, yeah, we'll see how much it drops.
Oh boy.
Well, I mean, you'll be adding. It's got 14 recent reviews, so
yeah,
you'll
but they,
be.
They always upweight my responses because you know
right.
Who wouldn't want?
It's got so many Steam points.
Of course. But yeah, I think it was like sometime last year. The YouTuber Real Civil Engineer, who, as far as I could tell, I think like his YouTube channel is fine. It's not like a clickbait, you know, like awful end of the spectrum of YouTube channels. Like, you know, it's a fine, very popular YouTube channel. It's about
is he an ABET accredited engineer?
You'll have to check his YouTube channel and find out. A lot of his thumbnails have little hard hats and safety vests. So I can only assume that means he knows what he's talking
about.
Does
he have his professional engineering license?
Colin is a mechanical engineer, so that's why he's so interested in this.
Have that stamp, like, impression thing that he can put on plans to say, like, yes, I've looked these over, and if it falls down, you can execute me if this bridge collapses.
That's basically what the professional engineering certificate is.
It means
that you can sign things and
you can
be, like, criminally prosecuted if they're wrong.
How exciting.
I don't have
what
that.
Rather Scott, our wonderful Uber host, overlord of the podcast. Did you watch this YouTube review?
I did watch.
Or what was the video? Was it a review? Was it a recurring series?
Like,
what was it?
It was this guy that he puts out this video, says a free game should not be this good, and you know people are mad that this game is free, and like why am I? I would gladly pay money for this. I think the YouTuber does a good job of like going through the game and just being like, you know, just like playing through it and be like, okay, like that's what it was for like 30 minutes. Great. Has like 2-something million views, like almost as many views as our average show on YouTube gets.
Yeah, he wins. Yes.
Just leave out the M on there. You see that like the YouTube or the Steam like review chart. It's just kind of like meh, just kind of like trundles along in like Nowheresville. And then it just like explodes from this video that like the YouTuber effect is 100% real, where it just catapulted this game into the overwhelmingly positive category where, you know, like less than 1% of all of the games in this genre reside. Probably a factor of like, you know, the fans being very enthusiastic, going like it's a free game. So the, you know, barrier to entry there is basically zero. But yeah, I think like the YouTuber is like, you know, people on Steam are saying that this game is so good, they would want to pay money for it. So let me cover it. Which gave me hope that like, okay, maybe there's something here. And I think, I think we've played a lot of games on this podcast that have dubious levels of graphical fidelity. And I think we've debated numerous times about like, oh, well, what's the difference between like graphical complexity and aesthetic? And like, you know, it the like coming back to the Cube Chaos episode. Yeah, the art is bad, but the aesthetic is fun, and it's all about the mood and the mindset kind of thing. This one I think was rough for me, I will have to admit. I think like the art, Andrew, I think you alluded to earlier, I think is fine,
Yeah.
but there's just like all a lot of the art, like all of the art assets are just repeated constantly. There's like no variation or real kind of style or oomph to it.
Yeah.
Which again, like free student project, like curb your enthusiasm. But yeah, I think like if people on Steam are saying they are angry that they want to pay for this, by all means, go and pay for
Yeah, I'm
it.
sure you can track it down. I'm sure Austria has some version of Cash App
I'm sure
that
they
you
have. I'm
can.
sure they have the concept of money.
I'm sure. Yeah, as far as I know, you could send them some pesos, or some like old timey,
Pieces of eight.
some pieces of eight, Old West, certificates of some kind, some bonds that you'd steal off of a train or what have
Oh,
you.
mining claim.
There, ooh, now we're talking. Yeah, I at first I was kind of I was surprised by the art because like in thumbnails, in like this on the Steam page, and like the main menu and the picture of like the character whose back you see with their wearing their gunslinger poncho. That all like looked pretty good, but then as soon as you kind of get into the game and like you see the first enemy, it's like, oh, this is kind of like placeholder artwork.
They
It's
clearly
not
blew their
ideal.
whole art budget on the back of this guy. That like the
The
Pokemon view that you have of his
Pokemon.
poncho.
Yep. Excellent poncho graphics. Great
Like
poncho
it actually
graphics.
that the back of this dude looks like decent art.
Indeed, indeed.
And
And
there
the
we go.
rest
And there's his
just
and there's
kind of
the
looks,
art.
again, it looks kind of like placeholder stuff. And now
Yeah.
I appreciate the actual, now let's talk about the aesthetic. The aesthetic is like, hey, we don't have like a lot of time or money, obviously, as a student project. So let's do this kind of like sketched on like a map. You can imagine the gunslingers are planning their journey overland, and they're using these big bulky charcoal pencils or something to sketch something out on
It's
their map, and like it has this sort of
2005.
sketched appearance, and it looks like pretty good. But the
It's like flash
actual,
art.
sort of, it's yeah, no, it's not dissimilar, but it's like it's clear that they're like going for this kind of sketched out, rushed, almost kind of like concept art style of artwork. But it just looks incomplete,
I almost would have
unfortunately.
preferred it if it was like, if the art was, I don't know how to phrase this, like, quote, more bad, where like if the art was like that like a wanted poster, it's like on the faded,
Yeah, sure.
something like the faded, like the sun faded parchment. It's got like all the scribbles and like hard edges to it kind of
That's going
thing.
to take some real skill. That's the issue here, is I think that we just
Have you
the back of
seen?
this guy's poncho looks great. It's clear they put this on Steam and they didn't, bother. I can't imagine that they would, there's a reason that they didn't charge money for this. They
Right.
realized like,
Have
hey,
you looked at
this is not a full package deal.
all of the
It's not
Slay the
done.
Spire like prototype arts? If you play enough Slay the Spire, you
Yeah,
unlock
notice
that.
that
And
they didn't release the game with
it
that art.
reminds
So that's
me,
the big key
yeah.
thing here, is that they understood that what they had was bad and they fixed it. Whereas this team maybe has not understood or has decided
Or
that
it's
that's not a
free and they don't
priority.
care.
Right. And so free and they don't care, I think, is the most realistic response, but that doesn't enhance my experience as the player of the game at all. I just get to look at ugly things. My visual field has been filled with things that make me feel bad because of how bad it is. That's what's happening.
I rate all things on this podcast as if someone came and left like a CD just at my doorstep, and I put it in my non-existent CD holder in my computer and am playing it with no context whatsoever about its cost or how many people made it. I'm rating them all as if they have been made by the same level of studio,
Yeah,
which
Scott's
hurts
the only
this
one that
game more
really gives
than.
it. He's the only one who grades on a curve, I think.
Yeah, it hurts this game more than most because, like, I think this game is probably a good game for what it is. It's just not something that we're probably going to end up recommending, like, you spend your time on. Because I, for me, at least, in playing video games, time is a significantly more scarce resource than money.
Right.
Like, spending $5 or $10 on a game is not the limiting factor. It's spending 10 hours on that game.
Indeed, indeed. Speaking of the game, let's talk about the game mechanics. I think the core concept of, like, hey, you got the cylinder, you got a limited number of spots to load up your bullets. Very clever. I think it's neat that you have to, I think it's great implementation of, like, the theme. And I think at its core, this is, like, a pretty clever, cool idea. It's not fully fleshed out.
Yeah. I mean, the bullets right now, like, several of them have, like, basically like a dev warning, like, this is incomplete, or like, oh, we should, like, do something different here. Like, they actually, like, put in, like, their sort of, like, dev notes into the actual descriptions, and it's just like, oh, okay, this is really incomplete. You can see that in many different places too throughout the map. Like, you'll go to a place, you'll join the event or whatever, and it's like, this is under construction, you know, check back later. And it's just like, okay, well, this is a very early game then. But you're like, right, the mechanic here, the core gimmick, as I started this thing out with, is that you have a cylinder that rotates. And what you're doing as a player is you're loading in these cursed bullets, which have different effects, into these five cylinder, or in the, yeah, five different
chambers
in the, exactly. And thank you. And you're trying to get the order right so that as you play it, you know, it turns every time, and the effects have, like, a lot of things based on, like, what happened before it, what happened after it, reversing the, you know, the direction of it. It's all very much a game of, can you think five moves ahead, and can you plan out, like, a set of events which is maximizes your the outcomes you want over five events. And so in that way, it's much like chess. It's much like any of these other games where you're like, all right, I need to, like, plan, do a little planning, and then optimize. And then really the strategy and synergies of, like, collecting and building the deck are kind of the backbone of what makes your play actually effective. And that's, you know, obviously a core to all Spire-like games, but the cylinders rotating is the main thing for this.
Will, did you beat this game?
Nope. Did I got
you
bored.
Did you beat the first level?
Yeah, no, I think right now I got into the middle of the second act, and then the game crashed, and it was,
oh, right,
this,
yeah.
And it was just like, oh, I'm sorry, you're done. And I'm like, all right, I am done, thank you.
Well, for what it's worth, Will, the quote end of this game is also under construction, so you're not missing out on much.
Drat.
It just, why don't they just bake it some more? Why do they have to release it in such an incomplete or incomplete state?
Guess is that they just wouldn't really release it instead.
Project, so they had to get it done in that quarter, right? Or this semester.
Well,
that
I feel like it's not something that, like, they released on Steam with any kind of ambition to be like, you know what, we're gonna disrupt this genre, we're coming for that Spire title here, and we're gonna totally reinvent everything.
But they're putting their names next to it.
That's fine. And, you know, hey, they got more ratings on Steam than I do, and more power to them. I think it's just that, like, I don't think that the developers of this game expected this game to blow up so much. And, like, you know, if you have, like, a, I don't know, dev team of, like, one or two people, then it's just like, okay, this thing's blowing up. This is, like, a little student project of mine. What do I do now? I think it was probably just put on Steam as, like, a last, like, hey, I'm glad that I made this thing. I put it out on Steam for people to see and play with. Hey, people are having a great time with it. Maybe not us specifically. And that's fine. I feel like, you know, it being, if this game costs like $5, I'd be a lot more mad. But yeah, I think that, like, the fact that, like, you know, things are incomplete, you know, it's very much like the kind of style that it is. For the price point is fine, but I think as we'll get to with, like, similar
games,
they
have to pay me
on
a little bit of money. I think if I got paid $5, then suddenly, you know, then we could start to think about it.
Then
I have two major critiques of this game. Mm. One is it doesn't auto draw your cards.
Oh my god! Yes.
And I've already forgotten what the other one is because it bugs me so much. Oh, the other one is that the enemies don't have, like, names or tags to them, and so they just, and their movesets are so boring. It's just, what are you,
attack, defend, and then inflict burn, because in this Western hellscape, apparently you're going to be on fire a lot. Yeah,
they basically don't do anything.
That was, I think, the leading cause of death in the Old West, is my understanding.
Like, they could have just spontaneous what about dysentery bullets?
Cowboy combustion.
They could be shooting snakes.
Snake shooting.
Shooting snakes at us.
Parrying bullets? How about that?
But seriously, though, the fact that it doesn't... It goes back to the point Andrew made right at the beginning, where it doesn't feel good to play the game. You'd have to drag stuff in an awkward way. It doesn't auto-draw your cards, even at the beginning when it doesn't... there's no options. You have to click four times to draw four cards. There's no, well, maybe I'll decide not to click. It's just it's clicking for its own sake. It's just kind of annoying, and it's just such bad UI feel.
It's not great. Yeah.
And I know Will commented in our Discord about when you click to go to the next place, you then have to click yes, I would like to go into this. It's yes, I've already made that clear that I want to go to that place by clicking on it.
Whoa, are you sure? You can't go back.
You can go back.
You can, yeah.
No, okay, never.
You can go back.
How far I got through the game.
You can go back, and you can go, it's actually not a Slay the Spire-like map, in that you can just backtrack and go to all of them. You could hit every node on the map if you wanted.
Is there a way to scroll the map up? I couldn't tell where I was
going.
Click
and drag the screen around. So it's not a scroll option.
Okay, I see. Because the way it was just by default rendering on my screen was the bottom half of my screen was blank. And then the top half was the map, which was partially obscured by bits of the menu and everything. Regarding the clicking regarding it not auto drawing your cards, I can imagine during the presentation of this project, wanting to walk the audience through what is happening. And if it just quickly auto draws, it's you don't have an opportunity to be okay, all right, here's what's happening mechanically. And no. So I think that maybe it was just a holdover.
All other games, all other roguelike
games. Not everyone in your audience is guaranteed to know
for the cards.
I barely
appear.
Know what a deck builder is.
I would prefer for the cards to appear with no animation whatsoever. It just they pop into existence.
It's not, I'm trying to offer up an explanation as to why they would have possibly done this. Maybe just for the sake of being
your
able
motion,
to.
Your motion to excuse is denied.
Yep. These devs are obligated, morally obligated to be defended in this court of law. And
strike it from the record.
Strike it.
Well, now,
what I don't like is the dragging of the cards into the different chambers. Almost every round, every player turn, I was having an issue where I would drag the card and I didn't quite get it into the hitbox, and it would then pop back into my hand. I was having issues with just the simple act of putting the cards into the chambers, which was annoying.
For our FPS expert, I'm a little bit surprised by this, because you'd think that your accuracy would be second to none, but...
You know what baffled me about
and
this
is a perfect game, as we've established, so the fault lies with me, yes.
Right, exactly.
Correct.
What baffled
me about
establishing
this.
The perfect game.
I felt really stupid, A, because I failed the tutorial three times in a row, but also...
Wow, that's pretty bad.
But also because, the chamber numbering on here is, completely backwards to what I thought it was.
Right, clockwise is how your brain thinks?
Well, not even, how the chamber rotates, but, I think there is... some legitimate interesting game design around like the bullet types and their placement in the chamber.
Yeah.
And like that stuff, I was like, oh, okay,
oh yeah, it could be cool.
That kept me engaged and interested to be like, okay, I'm gonna slog through the tutorial because there's something going on here with this kind of engine building here. But I always thought it was so for example, as you progress through this game and encounter the rich in-depth story and lore, the priest of the small town Aquabelle says, hey, it's dangerous out there, but you probably won't listen to me, nobody does, so here, take this at least, and the priest will give you a bullet, like most priests will, and this bullet, the guardian angel bullet, says that the bullet in slot 3 gets protected, in that when you're firing off these rounds, having the guardian angel bullet in like passively in the chamber and you shoot through the bullet in chamber number three, then it'll stay in there. I'm like, okay, that's kind of neat and interesting.
It is.
I didn't realize that chamber number five was the one at the top, not chamber number one. And I kept...
Wait, chamber number five is the one at the top?
I'm 99%
five,
sure.
Five, four, three, counterclockwise from the vertical position to the left, yeah. That doesn't make any sense, you guys. Five is the top position. That's the 12 o'clock position.
And I kept wondering...
That's not one?
No. And I
you
kept wondering why...
Bizarre.
Yeah. Like, why is my engine not working? I clearly put the thing into slot four. Oh, I only just realized that maybe like 10 minutes before...
Wait, are there bullets that do stuff on slot four?
Yeah, there's bullets that do stuff like basically for every slot. That's like, oh, okay. if this bullet is in slot three, then do this thing. If it's in slot two, then do this, which presents a very interesting element of like, okay, like I want to be able to use this passive effect, but what's the trade-off between actually like the active effect and having the chamber rotate and, you know, and all that good stuff. We also haven't talked about bullet parrying, but Colin, it sounded like you wanted to.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, we've been bashing on this game for pretty much the whole time, but there is a reason why people like this game. The potential combinations of, like, twisting the bullet around, and, like, I like that it's not... At first, I was like, oh, I'm surprised that it lets you fire and then put more things in and then fire, and then some of them stay in there. But I think that actually does do a good job of, like, providing some level of, like, interesting combinations of things. So like, I mean, the numbering's weird, but whatever. It is a cool conceit. It is a cool gimmick. I think I like this gimmick better than I like the Dicomancer gimmick.
No, really.
yeah. I mean, I'm just not. Dice just don't do it for me. And that's not even because I couldn't figure out that you could play the random magic dice in Dicomancer. But no, like, I think this is a really cool gimmick, and I am sad because I was excited for the first like 5 minutes of playing this. And also I don't care about aesthetics if they're bad. So like the fact that it had bad graphics didn't bother me at all. But the mechanics of like, oh, you just have like two enemies that are the same and they just cycle through for a while is like
no boring. Bosses, right? No elites.
No, I think there's a, I don't know if it's an elite or if it is a just another enemy type that like you have Drifter A, you have Drifter B with the gas mask that sets you on fire. You have fights where Drifter A and Drifter B are both shooting at you. You have fights where it's both Drifter A. And then there's some cases where there's three Drifters.
There's the case where your bullets are frozen, or your revolve thing. we've already forgotten what the name of it is.
We have a cylinder and chambers. Those are our two key.
The actual revolving part of the revolver. I want to just call it the revolver, but that's frozen. And so you just put in one bullet at a time and shoot it. And it's very interesting because it makes your hand and your deck completely different to play. Like there are the ones that are just like, do this thing on load and you just load and then it happens. I had one, the worker bullet, which like gives you an extra energy. I don't remember what they actually call the currency in the game.
Reserve.
Give you an extra reserve as long as it stays in your chambers. It's like, cool, done. Put it in slot four or whatever, and you're good to go. And it just stays in there forever. But the other ones that are like on rotate do this thing. It's like, well, my gun never rotates, so I just can't use this. Yeah, I thought that was a cool like mini game gimmick.
Yeah, and I thought for sure there would be like more of that, like, oh, the gun has like been in the sun too long and it's super hot and I can't like hold, you know, like
it does two, it fires and then it goes two spaces.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I mean, I, honestly, like for all I know, it does do that in parts of the game because I didn't play it for very long because
I guess we
it bugged
were not
me too much to get beyond that.
We
so.
Were not very financially invested in completing it. Yeah, and I think that like the Spire style, FTL style, like node traversal map would be interesting if there was more stuff to do than like just combat and cards. Like it seemed like, oh, like maybe there's some story here, but like, I don't know, you interact with like two NPCs? And then it's just like gunfight over here, gunfight over there, gunfight over there. And I went back and I was like, are all Western movies like this, where like it's just gunfight after gunfight? And maybe, but it feels to me that like there's some like it seems like a cool aesthetic and like genre to play this kind of game in. Like, ooh, like I could use like, you know, in FTL, you know, you're using your combat abilities to solve story stuff. And in this case, it seems very, very well poised. Be like, okay, I've got like my revolver and like all these different bullets in it. I'm gonna use it to like solve this problem of like, the water barrel is sealed tight, and we need to shoot it open for the donkey to drink out. I don't
Jimmy stalled down the well.
Got to shoot him to get him out.
Better put him out of his misery.
Exactly. Oh yeah, and you can have like an alignment thing kind of like. Anyway,
No, that would be great. And I'm sure when 45 the sequel comes out,
46.
it will. Yeah,
No, it'll be
that would
50
be the
cal.
natural name. That would be fun indeed. Yeah, it's a lot of gunfights. Where the description is a fun description. It says, "Take on enemies and come out on top."
That's kind of what you do, and that's about it.
Yep.
Oh, it was. I just found it. It was Grifflands. That's the other, I
Oh,
think,
yeah, that.
Western-themed roguelike deck builder where, you know, that one's much more narrative heavy, but they're the Western. I'd say, I mean, it's an alien Western, but like Western has been like at least to some degree incorporated into the theming for these the Spire-likes.
Yeah. A dope aesthetic. I really like the aesthetic of that game. Maybe the deck building combat stuff, maybe less so, but
Yeah,
I was still
is there any good cyberpunk versions of the Spire-like game? Oh,
yes. Huh.
There's one that I've been kind of like ghosting in the Discord for, called Into the Grid, that I think should be launching this year. That looks very interesting. I followed it from like it's I think I got like a very like a pre-alpha code at one point to demo it, and
Whoa, bragging. Three
it's alpha, Jesus, that what is it? That's fucking the Omega code here.
but that one does
Just
look
goes all
very
the way back
interesting.
around.
Yeah. Do we have anything else we want to talk about 45 before we load up our second game to talk about
Before
for
we
this
ride
evening?
off into the sunset. No. Oh, the music is actually surprisingly good, in my opinion. It definitely evokes that Western style without getting repetitive and annoying. And I'm curious where they got it or how they made it. Pretty good, pretty good. Catchy. I like it.
I have no
All right,
memory of
well, all
this.
right.
That's how involved I was with the music. So,
Better than the firearm, the actual gun firing sound effects, I can tell you that.
was it not even a pistol? I don't even remember the sound effect. That's it didn't really
Was like,
affect me. Affect me.
"Chow!" No, it wasn't that.
No, it was pretty forgettable. Not
All
great.
right.
Was it actually? Sorry, Will, you're asking us to tell you what type of gun
Yeah, I'm
made the
saying,
sound
like,
effect?
did they
We do,
even
sorry, we
try
don't
to make
know.
it? Did they try to make it like a pistol, even?
Sounded like a
Right.
pistol, yeah, I
Sound
think.
sure. It
Okay, so
sounded.
it wasn't like a Wilhelm Scream style. Like, Wilhelm Scream is to screams as
I mean,
this bullet is
yeah,
to
it wasn't
bullets.
like an op
I'm
sound
sure
effect.
it was
It
whatever
sounded like an
the.
Ivor Johnson top break 5-shot revolver,
Oh, yeah.
38 SNW damaged.
There we go.
The most powerful
38
handgun in the
caliber.
world.
So you're calling it a 45, but it's really a 38. Oh my
No,
God.
I'm
Oh,
just I
Lordy.
just I looked up what guns that actually had only 5 chambers. And there are many, and
The
they're all very
Austrian
small. Hope
38 is not meant
45.
to be. I mean, like that. I think that's a snub. Is that a snub nose? I
Oh
feel like
yeah. Oh yeah. This gun is like
snub nose. Well, this
hand
game's about to get
sized.
snubbed in the Omega Bowl,
Actually,
that's for
I'm looking
sure.
at pictures and it's smaller than hand and for
Oh,
many of these
interesting. That's
ones.
the detective, like, you know, secondary sort of like pistol.
Yeah, there's
Right.
no it's just like you point blank into their gut.
it, Lieutenant, you're a loose cannon.
Suck on this.
I mean, I think what you really should be doing with it though is putting in a certain number of bullets, spinning the chamber, and then putting it on a table and letting you and your friends see who gets shot.
Is that a
I
transition
think that was.
that I
It
hear?
could
Is
be. That's
that
pretty good.
a you could be playing Russian roulette, or you could be playing buckshot roulette.
Well, now that we've got it loaded, we've got that shell loaded, it's time to talk. All right, buckshot roulette, our second game of the evening. Buckshot Roulette released April 4th, 2024. Will, you were asking about how many copies this game sold.
Oh boy.
According to what I've picked up, Steam release reportedly sold a million copies in 2 weeks.
Wham!
By December 2024, the game had reached a milestone of 4 million copies sold. Ooh-wee. And as of May 8th, just earlier this month, I believe on Steam alone, Buckshot Roulette has topped out at 6 million sales.
6 million, baby!
And it's four bucks a pop?
$3 or $4, something like that, yeah.
So we're talking about $24 million revenue times
minus Gabe's cut.
We're talking about $15.8 million in gross profit right there.
And I think Steam gets 30%? Yeah,
I put in 34%, okay. But there you go. Being conservative here. So that's, I can't believe if someone could rake it. How big is the team?
Solo dev.
I believe this is a solo dev effort by
solo
one.
Solo dev.
By
Jesus.
One Mike Klubnica from
Mike,
Estonia.
Good job. Wow.
Who is not new to game dev. This is a guy who's put out I think like 20 like so upward of like 20 short kind of like experimental games that you can find on his website, Mike Klubnica, K-L-U-B-N-I-K-A .com. That all have this kind of like atmospheric horror puzzle aesthetic to them.
And there's one
they're all very kind of like European industrial, like I don't know that like Saw particularly from like a
I was gonna say Silent Hill.
Yeah, that does seem a little more or Andrew, like H-Rot maybe.
It's
got whatever that like it's the same kind of visual vibe as Lethal Company.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to describe. It's like
gritty PlayStation
like,
1.
N60. It's like dark N64 graphics.
Gritty, like low poly.
Like if the N64 was invented in like East Germany instead of Nintendo.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Aesthetically, it's got, you know, very stylized look and it works and everything looks finished.
But continuing on with some stats here, because I know people are they're shouting. They're like, what about the stats? The important stats. Let's see.
We're looking for the folks at home are looking for one single solitary stat that would support the idea that this is even a roguelite.
Well, we'll get there. Don't worry about it.
Very good. Very good.
Mike has he has a free to play game on Steam called Unsorted Horror, which. I played one game out of, very interesting, very fun and kind of psychological horror surreal game. And published Buckshot Roulette, published by Critical Reflex, who has, I think they published a lot of like these kind of themes of games, some notable titles that at one point I remembered what these were and have totally escaped me, between Mouthwashing, Arctic Eggs, How Fish Is Made, and one that is a potential stay tune called Lunacid or Lun Acid. Your average player of Buckshot Roulette has about 6 hours of gameplay in it. And this ranks in at the 21st most popular roguelike game on Steam with 91,141 total reviews. Who's gonna take the roulette spin here for the one shell description?
I'll do it. Buckshot Roulette is Russian roulette with your friends, except you've got 3 lives instead of 1, or maybe sometimes 4 lives, and also items and a shotgun, and sometimes you can saw off that shotgun to kill your friends more efficiently.
Now Andrew brought up the point of, is that like my very first bullet point under the Buckshot Roulette section, is this a roguelike at all?
No, this is a board game.
Yeah, and like that was going to be my exact next thing of, Colin, have you ever played the I don't know, is this a board game? Have you played Skulls before? Skulls and Roses?
Yes. That may maybe.
So then it's like the thing is you have like the coasters. Does that sound familiar?
No, never mind. I don't know what that is. You played King of Tokyo?
No, but I believe I've seen the art of the board.
It reminds me of King of Tokyo, which is a board game that I played a lot in like the early 2010s. Where it's basically the same thing except for much more complicated and better. But it's, you know, it's each person gets a turn and they get to like attack their friends. except it's a board game and you're playing in person and it's more. I think that honestly, this the only reason this is anything is because it's a video game and you can play it online with your friends and you don't have to be there in person. Like if you made, you could make this a board game.
Sure.
And it would be a very bad board game because you could just play other board games instead.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have, I think, the aesthetic vibe of this game, which I think really, really carries it pretty hard. That, and like, Colin, you're talking about the multiplayer. I think like we played, you know, a game of the multiplayer, and I think it was fine for what it was.
I can't even imagine playing the single player of this game for more than the tutorial.
Well, I think that like I was kind of shocked to see that like people have like more than like 2 hours of gameplay in this because
it's because they played it with their friends multiple times. They had fun one time, and then it's because they don't have friends that own hundreds of board games, and they haven't been exposed to what real board games could be.
Because they never get together in person. They only play games online, and so this is the online board game.
You can play board games. Tabletop Simulator. You can play.
Okay, well,
there's.
You're gonna have all games.
Scott, join Scott on our new podcast, the Board Pod, Grog
Broad Pod.
Grog
Allman. No, that's not gonna work. I kind of disagree. I think this could be potentially kind of a fun, but potentially problematic board game where like you have a physical shotgun prop that sprays you in the face with water or something. This game for what it is, I think is very impressive. I think it's maybe not a triumph, but it is like an experience. And it's an experience that is everything you've said about the developer totally like tracks. They've been like cultivating this aesthetic. They've been in game design for a long time. I think the look and the experience of this game is really something impressive. And it makes sense that like, you know, I'm sure word of mouth really helped this game. But, oh, you got to try out this game. You got to try it out. Novel concept right out the gate. And then the actual like execution, pardon the pun, is really great. And it takes, there's some really clever game design choices or decision making where it's like, okay, how do we take this core concept of Russian roulette and we put in some modifiers to really amp up the interest and amp up the excitement, and that core foundation of gameplay is,
it's not even Russian roulette.
Well,
it's Russian roulette except for you're shooting at other people, so it's not Russian roulette.
Sure, but I mean, wait, I would argue that's
you
like
can
one of the
you can
modifiers
shoot at yourself.
Sure, but it
that's why that's I think that's.
But you can always shoot at other people, and you probably do more so.
That's a great point. Maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. You know, mechanically, how do the mechanics of this game work?
Well, y'all? I think like the this game starts with a very beautiful and haunting shower of shotgun shells dropping from the screen, and starts you off. I think like this game like is so understated, but like I feel like does so much with like environmental storytelling that I'm just like, okay, I've woken up in an Estonian nightclub industrial bathroom, like warehouse rave. I'm in the bathroom, there's pills on the counter, the word afraid question mark has been written on like the repaired over broken glass of the mirror, and you start the game by kicking open the door, and you're looking out over this like rave pit with like this shadowy figure like smoking a cigarette, and you're just like, you can smell the rust, you can smell like the dirt in the air, and there's, I believe, the solo dev also composed like the techno music that's in this game.
Excellent. Good.
And it is like a surprisingly bumping soundtrack. Like house techno music is not like my go-to genre, but yeah, like for what it is and what it's doing, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm in. I've kicked the door open. I'm on this catwalk. There's a dude, shadowy figure, smoking. You go to the next door. You kick. You can only open doors in Estonia, I'm guessing, by kicking them. And you are brought into some like back room with like, I don't know, camera equipment and stuff, and there's this ghostly, I don't know, like just monster figure on the other side of this, what looks like to be a ping pong table, that looks like some sort of cartoonish, more welcoming version of like a Stephen King Langolier, who, safety first, of course, we should say, hands over a general release of liability document for you to type your name onto and sign. And just like this like big industrial like clamping mechanism that just goes like ka-chunk onto this like boring legal document. You have to like type your name in with these big chunky buttons. Like, I'm 100% on board. Like, let's see what you got. $3 indie game, like aesthetic. Yeah, it's doing it for me so far. And you know, you look over in front of the boom box and you have your little like act, you know, round one, round two, round three markers. And the dealer says, all right, you know the deal. It's Russian roulette, whatever that word is with it's the head cold people, with a shotgun. And the gimmick here is that you have how many? 1, 2, 3, 4. You have 8 shells, and on any given round, a random number of those will be blanks versus live rounds. And you get hit with a live round, you lose one of your 3 lives for the round, and whoever loses their lives first loses that round, and whoever wins the third and final round walks away the winner, kind of deal. And yeah, I think that just like you pick up this shotgun and your option is you or the dealer, and you are presented with like, okay, here's how many shotgun shells are live versus you know, let's say you have like 1 live round, 2 blanks, and your option is, are you gonna, you know, roll the dice, you're gonna try to shoot yourself or the dealer. If you shoot yourself with a blank, the dealer's turn is skipped. So that's kind of the roulette aspect there.
Indeed, that's how you
maintain. This is for the single player game.
Single player, yes.
And for the multiplayer, it just means you get to go again.
I think so. I think that's how it worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the gist of it. And then, you know, you let loose this the shotgun blast into the smiling dealer, who then comes back with a grimacing, frowny face for the rest of the match, which I thought was kind of a fun touch.
Changes his smiling actor mask for a sad actor mask.
But throughout the course of the game here, you'll be presented with various items that I think we talked about before, ranging from like handcuffs to magnifying glasses to cigarettes, beer, burner phones, hand saws, adrenaline, expired medicine, of course, remote controls, all sorts of things that
cigarettes
that
those
will give you more life or do more damage or skip turns and things like that. So, and yeah, I think that like, you know, you play through, I guess, like the single player quote story mode is, I guess, maybe a tutorial at the same time. And you know, as you progress, like you get more availability for items. So the possibility space for like, all right, how are you gonna beat this dealer guy increases over time. And maybe that's the roguey bit question mark of it. If I don't know if you could squint.
I got distracted thinking about this because I'm pretty sure you could play this game with a deck of cards pretty easily, actually.
It almost
and that would
like
be cheaper than $4.
Is this game less or more violent than Uno?
It depends on who you play with.
Well, it's the same amount violent, but it has graphics. So
there you go.
Like, what you don't see is that every game of Uno that you're playing is actually set in a gritty Estonian prison nightclub with a shotgun. They're not showing you that theme.
They had to tone it down considerably for the mass audience
for the 50s or whenever they released it.
And yeah, I think that like, you know, you progress through phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, and then, you know, you are eventually given a briefcase full of cash, and you ride off into out to Tallinn or wherever you're going to go clubbing next with this briefcase full of cash after having shot this demonic figure in the face multiple times without crucially you getting Kurt Cobain in the process. And I think like the thing that people mostly play the single player for is the double or nothing money mode, where if you have completed the tutorial in the bathroom, you will be greeted with a set of pills and a big chunky CRT monitor in there, where again, a blink and you miss it kind of feature. If you like click on the monitor, that'll take you to the leaderboards, and the global leaderboards are all kinds of fucked up because everyone cheats at it, whatever. But I, dear listeners, am the reigning Grogpod champion of the endless mode between all the co-hosts, because I'm the only one that has completed the double or nothing money mode. In that I walked away with the...
actually that's not true.
Did you do the double or nothing money mode?
I did the quadruple or nothing money mode.
Oh my goodness.
That's unlocked later.
But none of these achievements matter.
That's a lie. I'm sorry. That's a complete lie. I have to correct myself there. No, Scott, you're the reigning champion. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's good. What a poker
the Blake
face.
In the chamber. Well,
what
I'm
a
gonna...
buckshot roulette poker face. But my achievement still stands that we played one multiplayer game and I won, despite being that's the true. Only person who did not beat the single player. I absolutely lost and got sent to presumably hell is what it looks like.
Well, it was baffling because I think I won the first round. Colin won the second round. And
No, I didn't win any rounds.
You didn't win. Maybe it was Will who won the second round. But and then Andrew maybe won the last one. But it was super unclear to me in multiplayer mode, which plays effectively the same way as single player. But you're using those items. And there's a couple exclusive...
I feel like it plays completely differently than single player.
Does it?
Yeah, because you are, rather than just being you versus one other person, it's you versus three of your friends. So it True. Becomes entirely a game of social. Like, there is no game. The only game is convincing your friends to shoot each other and not you. So this is why I was comparing it to King of Tokyo, because it's got the same vibe of a lot of board games where you're not really playing the game, you're playing each other. And so it's convincing, like, but we've got to join an alliance. Like, you have to pick who you're shooting based off of who you know is going to get the who's going to get the most mad. So you have to like pre-justify why you've picked them. So you like flip a coin and be like, oh, look, it was the coin's fault, it wasn't me. Like, it's a completely different game. And like, I can see if 6 million people had bought it and just played the single player game, I would question society. Many people playing the like fun social game, I was like, okay, I think that you could play better games than this, but I get the like it's a fun 2 hour, 3 hour like thing to do with your friends, and people do much stupider things just as an excuse to hang out with their friends, like a podcast.
So like, Colin, as the board game online board game player between all of us, are there like? It felt to me that like when we were playing the multiplayer version of this, like the player elimination aspect felt kind of underbaked, that like,
yeah,
you know, you're eliminated from it, and then you're just kind of, you have to sit out and you can't do anything. It feels like there's a missed opportunity that like, oh, like I could as a ghost look into the shotgun to see if like the shell color, what it is, and see if I could like try to.
You should be able to like blow on their items and make them. I don't even think you should necessarily be able to do anything. But you should be able to like, or like meaningfully affect the outcome of the game. You should be able to like rattle their stuff.
Yeah, that'd be fun for sure, for sure. But importantly, I dealt the most damage. I also won the award for least careful, most resourceful, and the wealthiest. So there you have it. Meanwhile, Will got the coveted award of most deaths and the chimney.
I think my number of deaths was tied with a lot of other people too. It's just I happened to get it.
Yeah,
you were the first one to die.
Oh, okay, pretty silly. But the chimney, of course, is awarded to the player who smokes the most cigarettes. Yes. But yeah, no, definitely fun, and I think this game I appreciate that the single player and the multiplayer are so like distinct and different, and you get two novel and engaging experiences out of both. And, you know, for a game with such, you know, retro graphics, between the visual effects beyond just like, you know, the raw rendering of like the models and everything, and the sound design, it really cultivates an atmosphere and really puts you on edge when in first person you see that little low poly shotgun barrel come up pointed right at you. You know, you go cross-eyed looking at it, and it makes you sweat. It's very impressive. And again, you know, clearly the work of a veteran dev.
I think the thing for me that kind of made me think that, like, oh, this is why people could play the single player for a long time. Like the Double or Nothing money mode, like you play through like your three rounds, you're offered the briefcase. Oh, but would you, do you want to double your score or do you want to walk away with what you got now? And then so the, you would play through another three rounds, but you have this kind of, there's like a thing with certain traditional roguelikes, which this game is like as far away from as possible, that incorporate the concept of streak scoring a lot. And so there's like, there's some short ones that are like, oh yeah, like they're relatively simple. You can beat them in like 20 or 30 minutes, but like streak scoring is a big aspect to it. And I could definitely see that being like the main replayability factor for the single player mode. Cause when I cashed out on like one and then I went through like another one. And I was like, okay, I'm on round two. And like, it felt a lot more tense. And I could see if you were like three, four rounds in, like, okay, I'm going to like, and if you had like a Cold War.
But you can't
going,
spend that money on anything. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, but you can spend it on your clubbing bill.
You cannot though. If there was literally, if there was a bill that you could spend it on, it would make more.
Well, the money is your leaderboard ranking on the thing.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
For like, you know, if you're playing, if you have like a group of friends, let's say for a video game podcast, who were similarly interested in such a game mode, then you could easily set up like a, all right, I've set the top score. Who's going to knock me off of the rankings? And then someone will come in and be like, oh, well, I'm super motivated to come do this. And like, I could see that for like the single player mode. The multiplayer mode, yeah, 100%. It's a board game. I think there's like some fun like player interaction. There's definitely like quote unquote real board games that do like stuff better, like Skulls. Colin, have you played Coup?
Yeah.
COUP?
Yes.
Yeah.
That one I feel like does.
I don't think you could put quotes around real board games when we're talking about actual real board games, Scott.
You know what we need to do? We need to take like what we're gonna go to like the seediest industrial nightclub that we can find in maybe Soto, maybe somewhere in Tacoma. We'll just bring like a Trader Joe's bag full of board games. We'll kick the door open. We'll get some expired meds out, and yeah, we'll just set
like
up.
You get out your bug out bag full of board games.
Oh
yeah.
Wow! All right.
Yeah, we'll
Colin
set up
just
a...
treated us to a peek of his ready to go bag full of stuff. Oh, you got a lot of really high class stuff there. You got Catan, Carcassonne, Uno, Crazy Eights.
Don't you put that on me?
I'm just goofing.
I've got great things like Seven Wonders
lots of,
Duel.
Lots of shit no one's ever heard of with a bunch of umlauts over the.
You're talking about like Lorenzo and Twilight Inscription, which is the, of course, roll and write version of Twilight Imperium.
The playable version of Twilight Imperium.
Folks,
speaking
pretty...
of shotguns, you can store a shotgun in the box that Twilight Imperium comes in. It is a strategy board game that takes an eternity to play, and the people who like it really like it. But anyway... yes, mechanically, this is just a board game, but I think it wields the power of the video game medium really well to amplify and elevate that core gameplay.
I think what this says to me is more companies need to take their board game and make weird, gritty Eastern European versions of them. So
totally,
there's a
totally.
Game
not
called...
just ports, but like...
There's a game called Cash and Guns, which is honestly pretty close to this. The conceit of that is you just your gangster is coming back from a robbery and you're trying to figure out how to split up the loot, and everyone's got like guns and you choose who to shoot, and then you flip over to see whether or not you put a blank or a loaded bullet in your gun. It's very similar to this. It's very fun.
All right, you have physical foam props.
You have physical foam
pointing
props
at each other.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very fun. I think you could make an extremely, a version of it like this, where you like, you've returned to your techno basement after robbing a bank in rural Estonia. And I'm not sure, is there any an established, Are we actually in Estonia in this game, or is that something that we've concocted ourselves?
I think we've concocted it, but it's the, like, you know, I'm just self-inserting like the dev as like, oh, this is just like how the world of Estonia is, and the developer is kindly showing us an insight into the world over there.
Yeah. But I think you could make more board game like games that have a strong social aspect to them, and I think that they would be popular.
Yeah, I seem to recall there was like a version of Uno for like the Xbox that was like obscenely popular because of like you had like local voice. No, it was it was Uno, and you had like local voice chat and like local video on or something like that.
So I remember my college roommate's younger brother playing it while we were like visiting his parents' house, and we were all like hanging out, and he was just playing on his Xbox, playing Uno or Sorry or something like that in the.
Excellent.
Yeah. Add some smoking, some drinking, threat of self-mutilation in there. And yeah, you too can sell 6 million copies on Steam, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the fact that this made him a millionaire is impressive.
Well, to be fair, like I did
He went
play...
double or nothing a lot of times.
Yeah, well done.
I played one of the games from his other free game on Steam called Unsorted Horror, which is like I think it's like five or seven like.
Oh, no, they are Estonian. It's Estonian developer.
Yeah,
that's where we came. Okay, I wasn't sure if you were pulling Estonia out of nowhere.
Oh no, he is. Yeah, the developer is from Estonia, so okay. That means that like here all this nightclub weird action also takes place in Estonia.
Presumably, got it's it, autobiographical. It. Yes, right.
Yes,
understood.
But the other game that he developed that's I mean like all of his short games are like free on his website, but you can on Steam you can find Unsorted Horror, which is like it feels like those PlayStation demo discs where like you would have like a bunch of like short little games on like in a collection, and the one that I played there was like I could see why like this game sold so well because like there's a lot of like good ideas and there's a lot of like. The reason why this couldn't exist as a like physical tabletop board game is because there's like a lot of visual and like auditory and game interaction element of like I'm gonna press on this chunky button in the game and it goes ka-thunk and like the bathroom is gritty and you are definitely not gonna want to touch the doorknobs there, like you feel like you're in a seedy environment, and this one game that I played in that Unsorted Horror collection. Was really clever. Where like you're like assembling this drill to escape out of like this, this like apocalyptic, like prison bunker type deal. And you're like, I've got to escape and see the real world. And like you're going through and like assembling this thing, and then oh no, it's breaking down. And then security is called, and you're like, I was like frantically trying to like, I'm like, okay, this is fun. Like I am kind of panicking while putting this thing together. You eventually get outside. You're like, oh. Like the sun and the the low
spoiler alert.
Well, I'll save the real spoiler, but the ending to that game is has a fun twist to it that I'm like, yep, okay, I am very interested to see what else this guy has made, because like that kind of I feel like that journey of like the game development process is like you're putting together all these little things, like these little projects, and seeing it come together. I think he's made a couple games after Buckshot. Now that I remember, he's made two more games. So Buckshot Roulette came out December 2023, according to his website, or on his website. And then January 24 is Hot Swap Rave. And April 1st, this year, is Fused 240. So just 50 days ago. But he's been cranking out these games like, every few months or so since like 2021. And yeah, I think it is it has paid off.
Ratings time?
Yeah, let's spin that.
I mean, unless there's anything else.
Hey, I'll go first. I didn't review any of these because one is a student project and the other is like a micro game that's 30
there's
minutes.
There's a rating right there.
So there you have it. I think both are very impressive for what they are, but they're in their own category, I feel like. So I didn't bother assigning reviews because, as I've mentioned before, y'all really set me up for failure right out of the gate by changing the ranking system. So my ranking's all screwed up and it hardly matters anyway. But I do want to mention.
I think at this point, you've been on the podcast for longer than you
have
been.
Certainly not. Set up to fail. Never had a chance. Never had a chance. But again, the core mechanic of having that rotating cylinder with those chambers and loading up your cards. Very cool, very great. I am starting to think that maybe they put it on Steam just so they could kind of lay claim and take credit for like, hey, we came up with this idea and we might do something with this in the future. Not that they necessarily have like a legal entitlement to that mechanic, but that you know, they've established that like it's their original idea and it's a good original idea. And it would be cool to see it put together in a fully fledged indie game, because the theme and mechanics are neat. And as for Buckshot Roulette, definitely had a lot of fun, definitely unique and intriguing and really like immersive experience, dare I say. And it's nice to see like a visionary solo dev with like a very specific like vision and who's in the habit of making like kind of artsy fartsy games, make a game that is more like commercially viable and having commercial success without having to like fully sell out. So like I commend you, our dear Estonian rave dev. Good on you.
I'll go next. I gave 45 a 4.5. You know, if you're rating it as a class project, good job. A, you get an A, you pass the class. But I don't want to spend my time on it. It's fine. It's got some weird stuff to it. It's got a cool little gimmick to get you started. If you want to keep playing it, that's fine. But I just didn't find it to be that fun. It felt like a tech demo and a decent one, but not a real game quite yet. Buckshot Roulette is a board game. You could play better board games. Cash and Guns is good. King of Tokyo is probably good. I haven't played it in a while. If you hit me up if you want more other board game recommendations. My real recommendation from this is, game devs out there, maybe you should make more board games into video games, and just be able to play them online well. And put some weird graphics on them and you'll have a grand old time. That's all. Oh, I got a 5.5. Mostly because it was actually like fine fun for 2-ish hours. But yeah.
Scott, call it friendo. Who's up next?
Let's see. I'm looking for a coin or something. I'm looking for some shotgun shells on my desk here. They're conspicuously absent. I'll go next because, you know,
I was not expecting that. Usually you want to hold yours for last, but all right.
Yeah. I pointed the gun at you thinking for sure it was going to be a live round, but it turned out to be a blank. So, so I guess my turn to skip. Yeah, I think 45, within the context of it being a student project. Yeah. Again, I think like a good student project, if this game came out in like 2008 in like the height of the like Newgrounds like flash era, like okay, yeah, would have been like pretty good. But sadly I think there are, or maybe it's a good thing, there are other better free-to-play rogue games on Steam. And yeah, I think that 45 was just like shoved into the limelight of overwhelmingly positive by the YouTuber effect, and it's no shade on the developers of the game, but I just don't think that it's ready for that kind of level quite yet, especially when you compare it to all the other stuff in that category. So it's a 4 for me, just in terms of like, how does it like objectively rank against like all the other stuff that we've played? And yeah, I would put it ahead of sort of the Stars of the Pit and maybe slightly behind Cataclysm Dark Days Ahead, just because like, yeah, I mean, the revolver gimmick is... It's definite gimmick mode here because it's like that's the only thing going for it. But I could see it being evolved. Like you put like some budget behind it. Like, yeah, it could be interesting. Like put some zazz into the aesthetic, put an actual story in there, like tighten up everything about it and just have that be as kind of the core mechanic. Like it could be doing something. Buckshot Roulette, I'm going to give a 7.3, just ahead of War Sim, The Realm of Aslona, and just behind Holocure Save the Fans, another free-to-play rogue game on Steam. I had a lot of fun with Buckshot. I think the price point is just right for what it is. I think it has a lot of really great, like gritty atmosphere to it. Lots of like good techno vibes. And I like it was a game that I thought about a lot after playing it the first time that I played it, of like, yeah, maybe I should go back to it. Maybe I should play some more of it. So I'm glad that we had the opportunity here. It is tagged a roguelike on Steam, or roguelite or whatever, but it certainly is not one. So maybe it garners one of those honorary rogue tags that I use here on the GrogPod website. But for what it is and for what it's going for, I think it was great fun. And the time that I was playing the double or nothing money mode, I was having like, okay, like I'm feeling tense. The techno music's pounding. All in all, a good time. Maybe the multiplayer stuff could have been tightened up a little bit, but a good fun time for $3.
All right, I guess that brings it to me. Let's see here, 45. I guess we'll do that one first. As a self-described expert with Firelight Games, it's paramount, absolutely critical that enemies challenge archetypes, they challenge builds, and the enemies don't. The enemies have block, attack, and they inflict vulnerable, and they don't. So they are not challenging the fundamental archetypical builds that you would have. And so this is a massive flaw with this otherwise interesting idea. I think the mechanic of the cylinder rotating, that's fun. That's interesting. I like that it can rotate one way, the other way. You can protect bullets. All that stuff is fun, interesting stuff, but you just didn't package it quite right. And the art and the incomplete nature of it just gives me the feeling of a, what did I say? I said a 5 out of 10, below the 6 threshold for recommendation. I don't recommend this game. Buckshot Roulette. There's not a lot to say here. There's not a lot of content to talk about. I am very surprised. It's cool. I'm glad that you made a lot of money off this, and I get, you know, I somewhat get why you did, but is it a fun game that I would like want to continue playing? No. It as everyone has said, it's a board game, and it's one that has, I think, unfortunately, we live in this world where YouTube videos seem to dominate the capture of attention for games. And people watched, oh, look at my new, you know, Buckshot Roulette game where, you know, it's just like, and it's just like, oh, now I have to, oh, it's only $4. Whoa. Or is it $3? I don't know how much it is, but it's just, yeah, no, there's, I don't get me wrong. Great environment and idea for a very short pregame. I'm glad you've made millions of dollars. Holy shit. But no, it's not for me. That's a 4.5 out of 10 for me, below 45. So there you have it.
Well, for some quick rapid fire similar games here, for similar games to 45, I think like there's a shocking amount of like Western themed rogue games that are either out or coming out to some degree. There's one, I think it's coming soon, but there's a demo up, a creatively titled game called Rootin', Tootin', Lootin', and Shootin', which is it's a turn-based bullet hell, like super hot style game where like the bullets are only moving on the screen when you move, which is super, super interesting. There's a traditional, so let's maybe stick with Western for now. There's a game called Card Cowboy that I think is highly rated. We talked about Super Amazing Wagon Adventure, I think, before, for like super short micro games. Andrew, you'd played some Colt Canyon before.
Oh yeah.
Some more Western action there. I guess Wild Bastards is the spin on the CR previous episode on Void Bastards. But Wild Bastards is like the Western take on the sci-fi adventure. I feel like that's kind of like what we're sort of like looking for in terms of like production quality. But yeah, anyway. And then free-to-play ones, I mentioned like, oh, well, there's so many good free-to-play ones. We got a list of highly rated free-to-play rogue games here. Previous episode, Hollow Cure for sure. Then we have Frost Train. We have another student project. This one comes out of DigiPen here in Redmond. 1 million Fatal Guns is that one. There's a really good like top-down like survivors like game called Disfigure, which there's a DLC option there to just like pay the dev because it's a free game. You can just like tip them $5 through the DLC on this on the store, which is fun. There's a very highly rated game called Moon Ring, which is like a traditional roguelike. There's Super Auto Pets, which is a deck builder PvP game, which is interesting. And then I'll lump in Sword Rogue on there too, just for weirdness sake. But that's your similar games for 45. For quickly for Buckshot Roulette, we have clearly Inscription. I can't believe we didn't really talk about the alignment there, but it is very
better than Inscription for my money.
Like directly,
what the fuck? Like, take that back, Andrew. What
inspired by Inscription.
Imagine if they'd taken Buckshot Roulette and like stretched it out into a 8-hour ordeal with like weird FMVs in it, like, and there you have an Inscription. Like,
that is such a wrong opinion. I can't believe you.
You just gave Buckshot Roulette a lower score than 45.
That's
bro.
Correct.
Anyway,
coming at me about bad opinions.
Dead Signal. Dead Signal is another similar game that I think that and Arsonate, 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 people talk about a lot. There's a Resident Evil 7 mini game DLC that is very Saw coded called 21, which I think is like, you know, your standard kind of like 21 card game, but like your fingers get like peeled back if you fuck up. There's a game called Desecrated Deck, which I think is more of like on the horror aspect, and we talked about the other games by the solo dev Mike Klubnica that you can find at Mike M-I-K-E Klubnica K-L-U-B-N-I-K-A.com for all those other kind of similar games there. Yeah, so as we wind down, as we eject the final game shell out of our podcast shotgun here, we'll quickly mention again our email, grogpodzone@gmail.com, grogpod@gamedev.placeonmastodon, and grogpod.zone is the website with all of the stuff. You know the drill. There's all the things there. Yeah. And for my Google Doc that I have for the section under next episode teaser, parentheses, Colin pick, it is conspicuously blank here because
we're actually playing a board game next week, so that's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, we're playing Twilight Inscription. You may have heard of it. It's a famous roguelike board game. Very fast.
Are there any board games that you could consider roguelike?
Maybe what about Root? That? Like if you're playing the raccoon of Root, like a little single
we could play Root. I own Root.
Chess roguelike? No.
I own no. Root. I am Root.
I am Root.
What about I have Root. What's that like? What's that one that comes in a giant box? It's like an RPG. It's a GM-less Dungeons and Dragons type.
No,
game.
You're thinking of Gloomhaven, but that's not. That's got actual like story written.
Never mind.
Root. But we are not actually going to be playing a board game. We are going to be playing a video game.
I love those.
It's new. It's hot. It's what the kids are talking about. It's not Buckshot Roulette. It's Blueprints, which is, of course, Blueprints with a C, like son of a king, not Prince, like architect, which is what I thought when I heard people saying it a bunch.
The prince who is blue.
To be a deliberate pun.
Yes. It is, in fact, about building out a house. So the Blueprints would make more sense in some ways.
Oh my god, that's an expensive game.
Yes, this is a real game made by real developers.
Oh my god,
it is new. It is.
It appears to be a first-person shooter. This is great. All right.
Oh, there's a shame.
It is a. It is not a
first-person perspective-ish looking, but
it is
clearly not
rogue-ish. Maybe roguelike. It's probably not that roguelike. But maybe a little bit. So I'm not sure. I don't really know that much about this game except for my friends who like board games like it. So
that's not a great recommendation.
I've heard that this game is something that like jump into without knowing anything about it. That like don't look up anything online. I don't know if this is like an Inscription level event per se, but I'm getting like similar kind of vibes from the interwebs of like don't look up anything about it. Like, you know, go in like totally blind. It's effectively like a puzzle game
it's a puzzle game. So don't look up the solution to the puzzle.
Yeah. Maybe Colin, have you played Castles of Mad King Ludwig?
No.
before. I've seen things of people comparing it to that, but I guess we'll find out once we get into it. But yeah, Blueprints, very exciting. All right, well, that is going to wind down our double feature of 45 and a Buckshot Roulette this time. And yeah, Blueprints up next. But for now, me and you, we are dancing on the edge of life and death. And to play us out will be some industrial Estonian warehouse rave music to shoot your friends to.